Today's shiur in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Beitza, Daf Chav He. We begin two lines from the top, Chav He Omid Aleph. Amar Rabba Bar Rav Huna. Amar Rab. Rabba Bar Rav Huna says the name of Rab. Hasocher Amas Hamayim. If a person goes and plugs up a stream of water, most of the Mefarshim talk that this is literally an Amas Mayim. We're dealing with a very narrow, small stream of water. And if you plug this up, Eir of Yontif, so the water doesn't enter into this area, so any fish that are in this area already are considered therefore trapped before Yontif and therefore are Muchan. So therefore, that's what Rabba Bar Rav Huna says the name of Rav. L'mocher Hishkim in the morning, when you get up on Yontif morning, go Matzu Bo Dogim, and you take any fish out from this plugged up little canal, so then Mutarim, they're allowed to be used, they're considered Muchan. Again, most of the Mefarshim say that there is no Isser over here of trapping because it's such a small area. This would be like the fish were considered easily obtainable. As a result, there's no problem of trapping these fish, even though they're not fully caught at this point in time. Amar Chissa says, based upon this, Midivrei Rabbeinu, Rabbeinu here is Rav. Rashi explains that Rav was the Rebbe to Rav Huna, Rav Chista, and Rav Nachman. There will be players in this discussion, in this story here. So Rav Chista says, based upon these words, Rabba Bar Rav Huna said it over the name of Rav, Midivrei Rabbeinu, Nilmot, we can learn out an additional din. Chaya, Shekinina B'Pardes. If you have a wild animal, like a deer, that gave birth in a pardes, in a garden, an orchard, Rashi says this pardes is mokom hamishtamer. It's a protected area. The ein havlad yotze, and this little baby is too weak and too young to be able to leave, and is therefore it's considered already trapped based upon this principle that Rabba Bar Rav Huna said over the name of Rav about the fish. So Rav Chista wants to extend that to this wild animal that gave birth in a protected little habitat area. So chayo shekinena bepardes ein not tzricha zimun. It also is considered automatically Muchan, and you don't have to specifically designate it because it can't run away, Rashi says. Havlad enu yochel of roach, the kalutsudo. It's too young to run away, and it's very easy to trap it, and therefore it doesn't require separate zimun because it is already considered trapped. It's no different than the fish that are behind this plugged off little canal that are considered already trapped. And Rashi tells us the principle, according to Rav Chista, that anything that can't get out is considered muchan. And therefore, any cholin lot says, kari luhu muchanim. That's what Rav Chissa says. Rav Nachman doesn't like this. Omer Rav Nachman, oh, nofal chavrin b'rav Rav Osa. My chaver, Rav Nachman, Rav Huna, and Rav Chista are all chaverim. And Rav Nachman says about his colleague, Rav Chista, my friend, has fallen into a big machlokas. It's not so clear. Rashi says, nichnas rosho l'machlokos gedolos. He's getting involved in a very big controversy over here, by saying that automatically this baby deer is considered muchan. It's not so clear. He says, not everybody agrees with that, even though the fish situation, hasocher amas hamayim, that was agreed upon, but not necessarily with the animal. What's the difference? We'll see that in a moment, but first we have a slightly different version of this discussion with the same conclusion that it's a problem. It's a machlokas. Others said that it was Amar Rabba Bar Rav Huna, who made the statement previously attributed to Rav Chista, and he was the one that said, Midivrei Rabbeinu, based upon what Rav had said, no more we can learn out the chayu shekinu b'pardes ein tzricha zimun. So he was the one, not Rav Chista, who said it. And to that, Amar Rav Nachman said that nofal bar chavrin, Rav Huna was their chaver, and the son of Rav Huna was this Rabba, who was the son of Rav Huna. So he said, Rav Nachman, that nofal bar chavrin, the son of our friend, has gotten involved himself in this great machlokas, but Rav Rav Osa. So again, the two versions are identical in terms of the content, it's just the attributions, who said it, are different. Now, why can't you automatically go and extend what we originally said about the Socher Amas Mayim to the case of the Chaya Shekinina? So Gemara says, because Hosom lo ka'ovid maisa, in the case of the animal that came into your enclosed habitat and gave birth there, the deer that gave birth, so the little baby deer, you didn't do anything. You didn't do any sort of a maisa. Hasam l'kovid maisa. As opposed to with the soul haramas mayim, you did a maisa, hocha kovid maisa, and therefore the two aren't necessarily the same. In any event, according to the opinion of either Rav Chista or Rabba Bar Rav Huna, you can extend it and say that the chaya shekinina doesn't require any specific designation. It is considered muchan already. So the more questions is, really? Is that really true? Below boy Zimun? You don't have to go and designate this little baby that's been born from the deer. Well, Tanya, we learned in another brisa, it says beferish that you have to designate it. You absolutely have to go and designate it, or else it's not considered automatically muchan. In addition, the tzipor drawer, if you have a wild bird and you wanted to designate that to be used on yontif, go shecht and have your yontif food. So a wild bird, tzipor drawer, tzorich likshar b'chnofah. You have to go and clip its wings to make sure that you know which bird you're dealing with. Kidei shelo tischalef b'ima, because the wild birds are not that different, the mother bird from the baby bird. So if you designated the baby bird, so you have to go and clip its wings, tie its wings in some way so that you know which bird you're using. You shouldn't mistakenly think that you're using the mother bird instead of the baby bird. Rashi points out that you were mezamin this mibod yom, and therefore you have to go and tie off the wings in some way in order to make it as a simon. And this din was set over in front of the great Tamidei Chacham Shmaya Vavtayin, the Rebbeim of Hillel. And therefore, you see clearly that it says for the Chayi Shekinana that you do require Zimun. So how could Rav Chisda or Rabba Bar Rav Huna, according to the two versions, have said that you don't require Zimun for the Chayi Shekinana? So Gemara says, Tiyofta, yeah, Taka, this is a Kasha, that this is a Brisa, and these are Amoraim, and the Amoraim didn't know this Brisa, but they can't go against this Brisa, and therefore it's a Tiyofta. On the other hand, now the Gemara is going to bring down that it's a brisa the other way. Umi boy Zimun. Really? Do you really require Zimun? Is this the only brisa? Votanya, there's another brisa. On Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar said, we had this earlier in the Masechta, Modim Beishami Beishil. We had there talked about designating birds in your dove coat, and we had said that there's a machlokes Beishami Beishil in terms of certain things, but both Beishami and Beishil agree. They're both Moda. Al Shehizmin Besolcha Kain, if you had, in fact, designated birds inside the dove coat where their nest was, and then on Yontif morning when you come to take them, Umotzaluf Neakain, they're not inside, and now they're on the outside. So you have to be concerned that the ones that you designated on the inside had flown away, and that these are different birds on the outside that aren't considered Muchan. So both Beishama and Beisil say, in this situation, Shasurim, that you aren't, in fact, allowed to eat them. And under what circumstances is it inapplicable? This, we said, is true in regards to these birds, such as the Yone Shovach and the Yone Aliyah, the doves that are living in the dove coat or in the attic, or Tziporim Shekinenu B'tfichin Uvivira. We discussed these yesterday as well. These were some sort of a container, a jug, that you put in as like a nest for the birds in the walls of a house. And in that situation, this din applies that you have to be concerned that they're different birds than the ones you originally designated because they're not in their same place. But Aval Evozin V'Tarnegolim V'Yonei Hardisios. But for these other types of birds, which we talked about yesterday, the geese or the chickens or these Yonim, these doves that are known as Hardisios doves, they either came from a place called Hardisia or they were from Herod. And these types of birds, and as well, here's the reason why this price is being brought down, the chaya shekinana b'fardes, or a deer, let's say a chaya, that gave birth in an enclosed area in an orchard, and it's mishtamer, all of these, the geese, the tarnagolim, the yonei hardisios, and the chaya shekinana, the baby deer that's born, mutarin, they all do not require zimun, they ain't tzrichin zimun, by definition, they're considered mutarin. So here you have a brisa that specifically states the Chayi Shekinah B'Fardes does not require Zimun, exactly like Rav Chisda and Rabbi Rav Huna had said, and it's opposed to the other brisa we just brought down that said Tzrichim Zimun. And by the way, the brisa continues. It says, Utsripo Dror Tzricho L'Kash B'Chnafel, Kidei Shalot Tizchalei Bima. It agrees with the other brisa that if you have a Tzripo Dror, that you have to make sure that you don't get it mixed up with the mother bird. You designated it for Yantif, but you want to make sure you don't get it mixed up with the mother bird, so you have to go and put some sort of a kesher, a tie on its wings, so you know which bird you're dealing with. And in addition, v'hamikusharin v'haminu onin, if you have such birds that are tied in some way, as Rashi says, as a simon, and the v'haminu onim, this is, they were moved, me'esmo, Rashi says, l'shem zimun, and v'umakirin, here, you don't need a tie on their wings, because you can recognize them for whatever the reason. So these birds, so if they are biboros, if they're in a pit, or bibatim, or in a house, or bishichin, shichin are like certain types of cisterns, or ma'aros, certain types of caves, so if they're in those places, they're considered muchan as well, mutarin. However, ubi ilanos, but if they're in the trees, so then they're sur, and they're not considered mukhan, because we're concerned, shema yalav yitlosh, you may have to go climb up the tree, and when you climb up the tree, you're going to pull off a branch, and therefore the rabbis instituted a gzera that you're not allowed to go and take that mukhan bird. The bird is mukhan, but you just can't get it. As opposed to if they're in the pits, or in the house, or in the cisterns, or in the caves, so then they are considered, in fact, fully accessible, and their preparation beforehand, they're accessible, so therefore it's not a problem. So the bottom line is, we have a braisa here that clearly states that they are muchan the chayish akinana. So the two braisas are in a machlokas with each other. Then the braisa concludes and it says, v'amukusharim v'amunam, these last two groups where you either had to make a simon on it so it doesn't get confused with the others, but you designated it, or the minuam, the ones that you had prepared and they're recognizable, they don't need a separate simon on them. So b'chol mokum asurim, these are considered owned by the person who tied on the simon on the bird's wings, or he picked it up, so he acquired them with the act of kinyan of hakbah, and therefore nobody else is allowed to take them. Mishum gezel. This is not a din of yontif. This is a din of hilchos mamonos, that this bird is not considered yours, and somebody else can't go and take it. It is considered gezel if they go take your bird. You acquire this bird by your kinyan. No, so the two brises seem to contradict each other. So Rav Nachman lokasha ha ba ha beima. So the two are not contradictory to each other. They both agree that the chayish akinina, the little baby deer, for example, is muchan. It's the mother that's not muchan. So the braisa that says it's not muchan was referring to the mother. You might have thought maybe the mother is going to stay near the child and the baby that was just born, and therefore it's considered muchan, so it's not. And the braisa, the second braisa that said that it's chayish akinina is muchan, that's referring to the baby. So ha ba, ha v'ima. One is referring to the baby, and one's referring to the mother. The braisa, again, that says that it's muchan is referring to the baby, the second braisa. The first braisa said it's not muchan, that's referring to the mother. So Gemara says, ima bezimun sagila. Really? Say the ma'ayasabaya. The mother is not considered trapped. How can you even think that you can designate the mother and that would be sufficient, that you need a braisa to tell me, no, that that's not sufficient? The mother is going to run away. Say the ma'ayasabaya. If you have to go and get the mother, that's called trapping. No matter how much you designate it, you can't designate a wild animal and say, well, I want that animal, and then you have to trap it on yontif. So therefore, that can't be the answer. So Gemara says, Elo Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak. So Rav Nachman Yitzchak says as follows, Idi v'idi b'dida. Both of them, the first braisa that said you need zimun, second braisa says you don't need zimun, they're both talking about the baby. Idi v'idi b'dida, with the chaya shekinina, the little baby that was born. Why does the first braisa say you do need zimun? Second braisa says you don't. It depends what type of situation it's in. Ha begino has smucha le'ir, ha begino she'eno smucha le'ir. The second braisa that says that it's considered muchan, it's when it's smuchala ear. As Rashi points out, yodaba v'daite ilave. He sees that this is right near his house. So he sees that this deer gave birth. He said, oh, we're going to have venison. We're going to have a good meal on yontif. So since it's near the house, because it's smuchala ear, so he sees and knows about this chayish akinina, and therefore his designation works, because it is captured already, because it's a little baby and it can't move, so therefore it is considered muchan, and he is designating it, so therefore it is perfectly considered designated, like the second braisa says, ein tzricha zimun additionally, mutarim ein tzricha zimun. However, in the first braisa, we are dealing with it's not near the city, he doesn't necessarily know about it, and therefore as a result, it isn't automatically considered muchan unless he goes and does some sort of an action to it. That's how you reconcile the two braisas. Now go to the next Mishnah. Next Mishnah tells a very important din. Behema misukenes lo yishchot. An animal that is misukenes. Rashi says, hu yore shetomus, you're concerned that this animal is going to die. Ve'enu tzarech lo, and right now you don't need it, but it's on yontif. If this animal dies, you're going to have a carcass, which is almost worthless. But you already ate your meal, shekvar so'ad su daso, and you really have no reason to go and shecht this animal for yontif usage, but if you don't shecht it now, it's misukenes, it may die, and as a result, you're going to have a huge hefsid mamon. Elamachmas hefsedo hu shochet. If we want to go shecht it on yontif, you are allowed to shecht on yontif, but you're only really allowed to shecht on yontif for ochel nefesh, and you already ate your meal. So now it's talking about yontif afternoon, you already had your big meal, and you really don't need another animal to be shechted in order for yontif usage. So therefore, the Mishnah says, "Behema misukenes lo yishchot." You're not allowed to go and shecht it just to save yourself the money. However, if you are going to get some benefit from it on yontif, in other words, you'll eat a little bit of it, then you would be allowed to shecht it. So therefore, the Mishnah tells us you are allowed to shaft it. Ela im ken yesh shows by yom. There has to be enough time left in the day. Lecho mimena kizayis tzoli. The Tanakhama says, as long as you could shecht it, take off a kizayis at least, roast it, and therefore eat it. So then you are eating it on yantif, and therefore you'll have to shecht the whole animal, even though you're eating just one kizayis, because you can't have a kizayis without shechting the entire animal. So this is a halachically acceptable loophole, a legal loophole, to go and shecht this behemah mesukenes, which you really don't need on yantif. You're just doing this to prevent the huge financial loss. If the animal dies, it's worthless relatively compared to if you go and shecht it. But the only way you'd be allowed to take advantage of this legal loophole is if you can at least eat a kizayis of it roasted. That's the opinion of the Tanakhama. Rabbi Akiva disagrees. Rabbi Akiva Omer, you don't even need to roast it. Afilu kizayis chai mibeis tvichasa. He says, even if you just eat a kizayis raw from the area of the shchit, in other words, right from the first area where you go and shecht it, so right around the base tvicha, so you could take out a kizayis of meat and eat it, steak tartar, you can eat it raw, so that would be halachically acceptable as well, as long as you eat a kizayis of it, so then you benefited from it on yontif, and therefore you'd be allowed to shecht this behemah mesukenes, according to Rashi. You don't have to necessarily do tzli. You don't even have to roast it. Now, why did it say tzli instead of bishul? That's because tzli is the quickest way to go and prepare the meat. Bishul, to cook it, takes a little bit longer. So tzli, the Tanakhama said, that's the easiest way to prepare the kizayis. And Rabbi Akiva says, you don't even have to do tzli. You can eat steak tartar. You can eat a raw piece of meat. As long as you can eat a kizayis from the base tvichasa, from the area of the shlita, that's the most easily accessible. So therefore, it is allowed to go and shecht the animal for this. Rashi again points out, as I said, shumazuman umuvsha, the area of the shlita is already, so to say, ready and flayed, mayora, because you have to cut through the skin, vomit, and therefore it could be eaten very quickly. Then the Mishnah tells us a different din. If you go shecht an animal out in the field, shechot of a soda, a regular case where you want to go shecht an animal on yontif, your animals are out in the field, so you go shecht a little calf or whatever it is out in the field, now you want to bring it back to your house. So lo yiviena b'motu b'moto, don't bring it back in the normal way by you carrying it on various types of poles. That's the way they normally carry an animal, a big animal, so it's much easier to carry it on these poles. But what you should do, avo mevi biyodo evarim evarim, just bring it back piece by piece, because if you bring it back with the moat, Rashi says, b'shnei b'nei odom, two people, one carrying the front, one carrying the back, and you have clothed in the animal hanging down from the poles, mishum da avsha milsehi, umazalzel biyontif. This is a big fanfare type of a thing. Avsha milsehi means it's a big public knowledge declaration. It's noisy, and therefore everybody's going to see that you're carrying this in, and they're going to think that that's not the right way to do things on yontif. You know, technically you're not doing anything wrong. This looks like a zilzul on yontif, that maybe like you're doing business over here that you're going to sell. Who's going to eat that large animal? So it looks like a zilzul yontif. Mori starts off and says, Amar Rami bar Abba, hefshet v'nituach ba'ola, when you go and shecht a carbon ola, so there's a requirement to do hefshet v'nituach. You have to go and flay the animal and cut it up into its component parts to be brought onto the Mizbeach. V'hu adin lekatzovim. And Rami bar Abba says, we learn out from the way we treat a carbon that this is the way the butchers should also go and skin the animal, flay the animal, before you go and eat any of it. Mikan lim the Torah de'acheretz. The Torah is teaching us the proper way. If this is the way we should bring it to Hakadosh Baruch Hu, as in korban ola, so this is the way people should eat it as well. Shlo yochal adam baser kodem hefshet v'nituach. The proper way to go and take care of regular food by shechting is to go shecht and then flay the animal entirely, and only then do you cut it up into its component parts and sell it to individuals. Now, what's the reason for this? Now, we can delete the word lafuke because we're going to have it a minute later. So, my komashulon, what is the chiddush over here that Rami bar Abba is telling us? So, if you're telling me, ilemo lafuke mid Rav Huna, is Rami bar Abba teaching us not like the din of Rav Huna? What did Rav Huna say? The other Rav Huna, behema bechaya becheskas iso medes. Rav Huna says that an animal, while it's alive, is assumed to be usher, unless ashivoda lechob me'anishchata, until you know that it was shechted properly. Once you know that it was shechted properly, becheskas hetero medes, you can assume that the animal is not a trefa. You can assume that everything is okay. But ashivoda lechob be'anishchata, unless you know that it became a trefa. Once you know it became a trefa, then it loses its cheskes kashus. But the presumption of Rav Huna is that an animal is not considered a trefa. Once you shecht it, beheter, you can assume it's not a trefa. So therefore, according to Rav Huna, seemingly there's no reason to go do the Hefshev and Nituach. The Hefshev and Nituach is the only way you can go and check out the animal to see if there's any Simoni Trefa. If you didn't go and do the Hefshev and Nituach, you can't see what's going on inside. So let's say if you just cut off the right foreleg and you start roasting it and eating it, but you haven't done the Hefshev and Nituach, Rav Huna says, no problem. You're allowed to go and assume that the animal is Becheskes Kashus. It was shechted properly, so Becheskes Heteromedes, unless you know specifically as a Trefa. But you didn't do Hefshev and Nituach, so you're not looking to see that as a Trefa. So are you telling me that Rami Bar Abba is telling us this din, that you should go flay it, as opposed to Rav Huna that says you don't have to go and flay it because you're not concerned about looking for a Trefa, and Rami Bar Abba says, yeah, go do Hefshev and Nituach to go look for a Trefa. Is that it? But the Gemara says that can't be. Well, no, it's not, because we learned in a Mishnah that the Aloch is like Rav Huna, that the animal is Becheskes Kashrus, Becheskes Heteromedes, unless you specifically know that it has a trefa, but you don't have to go look for it. Hanan Tanan Masnis and Rav Huna did not. We learned in our Mishnah, the Rabbi Kiva says, Omer, Afilu Kizayis Chai Mibes Tvichosa. You're allowed to go and eat without it being flayed. You just shechted it, so you open up a little bit by the neck, you take out a Kizayis and eat it raw. So, my la, Mibes Tvichosa Mamish. So, isn't this talking, the simple understanding is that you're taking it literally from the Mokum Shchita, and therefore, you obviously don't have to do the Hefshev and Nituach, and therefore, we have a Mishnah in support of Rav Huna. So, how could Rami Bar Abba go and argue with Rav Huna? My la, Mibes Tvichosa Mamish. So, therefore, you don't have to do the Hefshev and Nituach. He says, no, that's not what Beis Tvichosa meant. The way I translated it before and just now was incorrect. Lo, you know what it means, Beis Tvichosa? Mimakom she tovachas achilosa. From the place in the body where it chews up the food, where it actually does the digestion. And therefore, that is in the intestines. Now, the only way you could get to that intestines is if you did have shit in your tuch, if you flayed it. So in fact, Rabbi Akiva is in accord with Rami Bar Abba and Rav Huna's din is exactly what Rami Bar Abba, with the support of our Mishnah, is coming to tell you is incorrect. You must do the Hefshev and Nituach. So that's what Rami Bar Abba is teaching us. Gemara says, that's not true. Because V'hotoni Rabbi Chia specifically said, Makom Tvichosa Mamish, that Rabbi Akiva's understanding isn't the intestines. It's not the place where digestion occurs, and therefore you had to open up the animal Hefshev and Nituach and flay it and cut it up. No. Rabbi Chia says that Rabbi Akiva's opinion is referring to the actual shechita in the neck. And therefore, we go back to our original question, how can Rami Bar Abba suggest that Rav Huna is wrong? Our Mishnah is in support of Rav Huna. So therefore, Rami Bar Abba can't be teaching us, Mikan Lim Dotar Derech Eretz, Shlo Yuchal Odom, Boser Kodem Hefshev Nituach. It can't be against the din of Rav Huna. So what is Rami Bar Abba telling us? Elo, Rami Bar Abba, his din is, and we turn to Chafei Amud Beis, his din is specifically telling us, Orach Ara Kamashwan. He's telling us the right way to do things. Not because, as Rashi says, Lo Mishum Issa Trefa. He's not disagreeing with Rav Huna, with Rabbi Chia's understanding of Rabbi Akiva. No, they all agree that technically you're allowed to. But Rami Bar Abba is telling us that that's not Derech Eretz. That's not the right way to do it. Because, Kidid Tanya, because we learned in another Braisa, and Rashi tells us a very important idea here. Rashi says in Dibra Masel Kidatanya, Matsinu Av Tanoim Shimelamdim Hilchos Derech Eretz. The Tanoim don't only teach us actual strict halacha, and this is the din, and this is heter, this is mutter, but they also teach us the fifth column of Shulchan Aruch, the proper way that a person should act. Hilchos Derech Eretz. Shlo Yira Odo Atzmo Ahabrios. A person shouldn't appear to others, Kiravosim, like a glutton. And that's what we're talking about over here. Av there, this person, Hamamar Lecho, Kodem Hefshit. If a person is in such a rush to go and eat before they do the flaying of the animal, Nira Kirabos, and he looks like a glutton. And that's what Rami Bar Abba is teaching us. Kidatanya, like we learn in this Brisa. The Brisa tells us, Lo Yochal Odom Shum Ubotzel. A person shouldn't eat garlic, is shum, botzel is an onion, Mirosha from the top. In other words, you should open up the entire garlic or onion. It's interesting, Rashi says a butzel is a tzibula, right? We know that Yiddish word for an onion. In any event, you should bedavka not eat it from the top, but you should eat it from ela me'ola, from the leaves. Now, where are the leaves found? Rashi says mitzad ha'olin, from the side where the leaves are, which is at the bottom. And this way, you open up the entire, you skin the entire garlic or onion, and only then do you eat it. V'im ochal, but if you ate it from the top, harei zeravasin, you look like a glutton. You can't wait to eat. Similarly, the same halacha applies, lo yishta odom kosu vasachas, the proper way a person should drink his glass. They're talking about wine usually, they're drinking wine. So when a person drinks a glass of wine, don't drink it all at once. Don't take it in one big gulp. Lo yishte odom kosu v'vasachas, because you look like, again, a glutton. V'imshasa, if you do so, harei ze gargaron. You're a glutton. You're a person that, you know, can't control himself. He has to drink his wine. Tana Rabban, we have a brice that says the same etiquette on how to drink. If a person drinks his cup in one fell swoop, he's a glutton. Shnayim, if you drink it in two sips, that's the proper way. Derech Eretz, that's the normal way a person should drink it. They didn't have huge cups, so you're drinking a revi, it's mistama, you're drinking a small cup, so you take it in two sips, that's a normal way to drink it. If you do little sip, a little sip, little sip, shlosha, then you're an arrogant person. That's the way the people that are very fancy and the people that are very interested in their own pleasures. So that's an arrogant person. That's if you drink it very, very slowly. Now, there's an exception to this rule when you're drinking a kosher mitzvah. So to show chavivas for the kosher mitzvah, there are those that allow you to go drink it all at once, because there it's not looking like a glutton. There it looks like a person interested in drinking the kosher mitzvah. Okay. Gemara continues with another din of Rami Bar Abba. V'yomer Rami Bar Abba, chatzuva mikata raglehon derishyah. Chatzuva is a certain plant. We've had it earlier in the Masechta. Rashi brings down over here, Esev Shesharashov Nokvin. It's a certain type of grass that the roots go penetrate straight down. The Yordabom, it can go very deep down. The Ein Mispashet Litzdodim Klal. It doesn't spread sideways at all. It's a vertically growing plant, and it doesn't stretch out. So it's a great plant to demarcate your ground, because it's not going to go stretch into your neighbor's area. Benotin also bein givule sados, and it's a great plant to demarcate between two fields of two different owners. That this on the left is yours, and on the right is mine. Obo tiaches Yoshua li Yisrael es oris, and using this plant, Yoshua divided up Eretz Yisrael, and therefore everybody had their own separate areas, and it was clear where the demarcation was. So what Rami Bar Abba tells us is that this chatzuva plant cuts off the legs, mikateya raglehon, of Rashi says ragle harishayim. Ultimately, these people try to steal somebody else's land. She goes in the chosim. They're going and stealing and grabbing. Meisigim gvul. They're being masig gvul. They're taking over somebody's gvul, literally. These rishayim didn't learn from the chatzuva plant that clearly demarcates my field from your field, and they try to go steal other people's field, these rishayim. So therefore, the chatzuva plant is going to, so to say, be makatrek. It's going to be the prosecuting attorney against these rishayim. Why didn't you act like the chatzuva plant that clearly demarcated one field from another? You guys are trying to do gazlonus and chamsonus, trying to steal somebody else's property. So that's the first statement Rabbi Baraba said. Second statement he said is an etia, a young tree, mikatea raglein, will cut off the legs, the katsuvaya, of the butchers. Because a young tree is going to remind us that there's a din of arla, and you gotta wait. A young tree, Rashi says, netias arla, shomer Torah, lahamtin shaloshanim, milecho peros. So a young tree is going to remind us that don't be in such a rush to go and eat something. And therefore, this young tree, which you have to wait 3 years, the first 3 years of the produce, it's orla, and it's also to eat. So this is going to be mekatea ragle katsavim. This is going to cut off the leg, so to say, and it's going to give no support to the butchers. Hamamare lecho kodem hefshev v'nituach. They are quick to go and sell the meat, eat the meat, before you did the full hefshev v'nituach. Upamim shenim sistreifa. Again, Rashi here brings down the original thought, which we said was from Rav Huna, that you don't have to be concerned about this, but at the same time, it is a halachic concern that maybe the animal is a treifa. And the fact that you didn't know about it and ate it, that makes you somewhat culpable, even though technically you're ones in that situation. And therefore, you can technically claim that you're not at all held accountable, but the bottom line is, if you'd gone to a little bit of trouble to go check and done the Hefshet Nituach, you would have noticed that it was a trefa. So therefore, this plant is going to cut off the legs of the butchers that didn't wait. Likewise, Udubor Leinidos, it's likewise going to cut off the legs of the people that do this Rahmanul Islan sin of sleeping with a woman who is a Nida. A person can't wait to sleep with his wife, and she's a Nida. So it's like Arla. You should have waited. And therefore, it's going to cut off the legs of those people. Why weren't you like the tree, the young tree that you should see, that you have to wait? Arla's also, and your wife is also. Well, she's a Nida. You have to wait till she is Ois Nida. She's no longer a Nida. Rami Baraba continues. He says, the Turmosa, a Turmosa is, Rashi says, min kitnis agul, a certain type of round bean, kimin adasha, like a lentil, v'rochav kimor kitana, like a certain coin. It's a very well-known coin to them. So it's a small round bean, v'hu mar ma'ot, Rashi says, very bitter, unless ad shesholkin also sheva pa'omen. You have to go and cook it 7 times. And only then, the nasim watuk, on the side it says, tumasim tzrich l'hamdik, that you have to go and do this in order to sweeten it and make it good. Masuk v'tov. Achiochal l'mit'amim b'kinuach su'uda. And then you can use it as a dessert. It becomes a very sweet delicacy. Originally, it's very bitter, but if you cook it 7 times, it becomes a delicacy. So this tumasa is going to be mekatea raglein disonein shal Yisrael. Now, we never like to say it's going to cut off all legs, so we always refer to it as sonein shal Yisrael as a euphemism. But it means this tumasa is going to knock out also any support that we have. It's going to cut off our legs for the Jewish people. That Nebuch, as the pasuk tells us, in Shoftim, it says, Vayusifu b'nei Yisrael lasos rabbi ne'eshem rechmanu lutzlan. Our history is unfortunately filled with examples of us worshipping Avodah Zarah. Vayavdu es ha-ba'olim v'esu ashtaros. We worship these various types of Avodah Zarah, the Baal worship and the Ashtarah worship. V'esu alkei Aram, we worship the gods of Aram. V'esu alkei Tzidon, we worship the gods of Tzidon. V'esu alkei Moav, and we worship the gods of Moav. V'esu alkei b'nei Amon, we worship the gods of b'nei Amon. V'esu alkei Plishtim, and the gods of the Plishtim. And this pasuk lists 7 Avodah Zarahs that we worship. Again, the Balaam is 1, Ashtoros is 2, okay, Aram is 3, Tzidon is 4, Moab is 5, Amon, Bnei Amon is 6, and Elokei Plishtim, that is 7. So we worshipped 7 sets of different Avodah Zarah. Now the Turmus, after you cooked it 7 times, so then it becomes sweet. But this is going to cut off our legs, that even after we worshipped all these Avodah Zarahs, we didn't come sweet, we didn't go return back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's why we'll be held accountable, that at least the Turmus, after it did 7 times, had to be cooked, so to say, it was bad, so then it became good, but we were bad, and we didn't become good. As the pasuk continues, and it says, Vayazu es Hashem v'lo avaduhu, that we left HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we didn't serve Him. Now, the fact that we left HaKadosh Baruch Hu, mashmash nemar, Vayazu es Hashem, en yodeh sh'lo avaduhu. Obviously, if we left Hashem, we didn't serve Him. So what's the purpose? It seems to be extraneous. So Amar Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Elazar tells us, Amar Kosh Baruch Hu, Kosh Hu says, you're not even like the Turmas. Apilu ki Turmas says there, she'sholken oso sheva pamim, ba'ochlen oso bikinu asuda, lo asuni banai. That you should have learned the lesson from this Turmas. That, okay, it's cooked 7 times. That's like the equivalent of going off the derech, so to say. 7 times. It was cooked. It's not good. But then it becomes a delicious delicacy. You can eat it. It's nice and sweet. And you eat it for dessert. And you, my children, you didn't learn from this, and you didn't return after you did the 7 cookings, after you did the 7 bad things that you worshipped the Avodah Zarah. You should have returned. You should have become sweet. You should have realized the shtus of the Avodah Zarah and returned to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but you didn't do that. So therefore, the Turmus is going to, so to say, hold us accountable. It's going to cut off the legs of Sonei and Shoy Yisrael, meaning Klai Yisrael. Tanam Yishmei the Rav Meir. They learned the following braisa said by Rav Meir, Mipnei ma nitno Torah Yisrael. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu give the Torah to Klai Yisrael? Mipnei shein asid. Because we are a am kshei oref. We're a strong-willed people. And Rashi explains, V'nitno lehem Torah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the Torah. Shiaskubah, that we should delve into the Torah. V'mateshes kocham. And that's going to weaken us. U'mechnas libo. And it's going to make us humble. And it's going to make us subjugated to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Otherwise, we'd be a very, very strong and powerful nation without any controls. So the Torah is there to control us, help us be normal and not be a crazy, powerful nation. Tanya Rishmol, in the base medrash of Rishmol, we learn the same thing. Mimino, Eish Dos Lomo. The pasuk tells us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's right hand, He gave us the Eish Dos. He gave us the Torah. Now, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to us basically, Ruhi and Halalu, Shetinosin Lahem, Das Eish. So the first version here that we have from the base medrash of Rabbi Shmuel is not in accord with the braisa that we just worked out for Rabbi Meir. Here it says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that we're worthy to get the Torah. The Torah is referred to as the Eish Das. But Ika D'Amri, the second opinion over here, the version that says that the base medrash of Rabbi Shmuel, they learned exactly like Rabbi Meir, Doseim Shel Elu Eish. That not that the Torah is referred to as Eish Das, but Klai Yisrael is referred to as a fiery nation. And therefore, Shel Ilmale, we delete the word lo. Ilmale really means that. So Ilmale, if it wasn't for the fact that Nitna Torah Yisrael, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the Torah, Ein Kol Uma Veloshon Yecholun Lamu Bifneim. Klai Yisrael would have gone crazy. Klai Yisrael would be so powerful, it would have attacked the rest of the world, and no nation would be able to stand up to Klai Yisrael. But the Torah humbles us, Torah makes us less powerful than we would otherwise be, and makes us serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu rather than just going crazy and running ramshod over all the other nations of the world. And this second opinion, the Sikha D'Amri, is exactly what Meir said. Behind the Dhamma Rabbi Shimon Lakish, the Rish Lakish said as well, Gimel Azenheim, there are three things that are considered very, very strong. Rashi says they're very strong. Koshim, Linotzech, and they'll be victorious. What are these three things? Yisroel Bumos. Naturally, if the Jewish people hadn't gotten the Torah, we would have run over the rest of the world. Yisroel Bumos, we would be much stronger than the other nations of the world. Likewise, Keleb Bechayos, a dog amongst the other animals, is very, very powerful. And Tarnagol Baofos, and the chicken amongst the other birds, is very powerful. And others add, V'esh Omrim, Af Eiz Bebehemadaka, a goat, compared to the other small animals, the Hemadaka, the goats and the sheep families, so the Eiz would be the most powerful. And others add, still, V'esh Omrim, Af Sloth Boilanos, that the sloth, the caperberry tree, is considered the most powerful amongst the trees. Gemara in Brachos tells us that there are many different component parts to the sloth that are able to be eaten. And it talks about what brachos you make. Some you make eitz on, some you make adama on, and that there constantly are fruits growing, berries growing on this tree. So therefore, its sloth is the most powerful of the trees. Although Rashi says, lo yadati ma'u azushlo. Rashi doesn't know what the answer is. I gave you the answer that Tosos gives us, that it has gimel peros, the Alin, Evyonos, and the Kafrisin. So, Ba'od, Shetoin, Peros, B'chol, Yom. That it constantly has the fruit. So I gave you Tosus' answer here. Rashi says, I don't know what it is. Rashi's greatness is he's not afraid to say, I don't know. I do not know why you don't have the normal, the Gilyan Hashas, or Kiva Egan, normally goes and lists all the times that it says, Rashi says, Lo Yadat. Every time, there are 25 or 26 places in Shas where Rashi says, Lo Yadati, I do not know why the Gilyan Shas doesn't list this one over here. Maybe because it says a specific Lo Yadati, Ma'u Azaz Shalom. Maybe that's why. Anyway, Akasha. Gemara continues and says, Shechot Basad Lo Yadati B'mot. If you go and shecht this animal that you're allowed to go shecht on Yontif out in the field, so don't have two men come carrying it back on the poles like they normally would do on a weekday. Tana Rabbanan, a blind person is not allowed to go out with his cane, with his stick, on Yontif. Now, we're talking, according to most of the Mepharshim, we're talking here that he doesn't need this. It's not essential for him to walk. If it is essential for him to walk, then of course he can go out with it. But we're talking here about he's using it for non-essential purposes, so therefore it's improper to go and do this on Yontif. It takes away, again, somehow from the cover of Yontif. Rashi says, the heavy derechol. It looks like a weekday activity. Who carries his stick with them on a yontif or Shabbos? Because ziluso the yontif, and this in some way is degrading the yontif. Again, we're talking here, it's not essential. It's a nebuch, it's a blind person's cane that he uses to go and travel, so of course he's allowed to use it. Second thing is, v'lo aroa betarmilo. The shepherd is not allowed to go out with his backpack. Again, it looks too much like a vachendika activity. It's mezalzel on yontif. And the third thing, the Brisa says, Ain Yotzin, you're not allowed to go carrying out the kisei, a chair, echod ish v'echod isha, that you're going to carry a prominent person. You can't go and carry this chair in the normal way that you would carry a man or a woman in this chair. So the more questions this, the last part. Ini, is this really so? V'osholach Rav Yaakov bar Idi, zokin echod yo b'shchenuso. V'yotze, this elderly person went out in the neighborhood being carried b'galadoki shelo. A certain galadoki, Rashi says, is pledistol, which is a certain type of folding type of a chair. That's the way the Laz Rashi explains this. So he went out with this folding chair. Ubo, Vishal was of Yeshua Levi, did he do the right thing? The Amen. Yeshua Levi said, Im Rabim Tzrichim Lo, as Rashi says, if he's needed to give a shir, the base of Medrash, the Darsha, and the only way he can get there is if they carry him on this chair, so then Mutter, then you're allowed to go and do this. So you are allowed to go carry somebody out with a chair, as long as they're needed by the public. Mutter, in that situation, it's allowed. And in fact, the rabbis relied upon the opinion of a Talmud Chacham whose name was Achi Shakya. To Omar, he had said, I know, I myself, afik de Rav Huna, I personally carried Rav Huna, mehini l'shili, mehshili l'hini. These were two places that were close to each other, Rashi says. They were within the tchum of each other. Makom was smuch in the ein tchum Shabbos b'nehem, and we're talking here on Yontif, he was allowed to go and carry them, or it was an Erev on Shabbos, and he was allowed to go and carry him, and he brought him to the shir from Hini, where he lived, to Shili, where he gave the shir, and then he brought him back from Shili to Hini, back to where he lived. And he did this, carrying him. So how can you tell us you're not allowed to carry somebody? Likewise, Rav Nachman Yitzchak said, I personally was the one that carried Shmuel, Mishimsha Letula, from the sun into the shade, Umitula, and from the shade into the sun, Lishimsha. It was hot or cold, so he would move him about, and he carried him in this chair. So how can you tell us in this Braisa, this Ein Yotze Mekise, Echorisha, you have several examples here, Rav Yaakov Bar Idi, saying that Rav Yishuv ben Levi allowed them to carry the Zochin Echad who was needed, and likewise, we have the story of Achi Shakya, that he carried Rav Huna, and we have the story of Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, who carried Shmuel. So how can you tell us that it's not allowed? So Gemara says, no, in each of these cases, Hosom Kidom Taima, as you said, specifically by Rav Yishuv ben Levi, that we were dealing with him, Hayu Rabin Tzricha Lo Mutter. So the Braisa doesn't disagree with that. The Braisa says that only if you don't need him, if the Rabin don't need him, then you're not allowed to carry him out with a chair. So therefore, there's no stira between the Braisa and these three Maisim Shehoyu. Amalei Rav Nachman, L'chomo Bar Ada Shaliach Tzion. Rav Nachman said to Chomo Bar Ada, he's Shaliach Tzion. What does it mean, Shaliach Tzion? Rashi says, Rogil Hoyo La'alos Li'Yushalayim. He would regularly go up from Babel to Yushalayim. So he's known as the messenger, the Shaliach of Tzion. He would go from Babel to Yushalayim and back and forth, and he would bring news both ways. So Rav Nachman told this Chomo Bar Ada, on your next trip up to Yushalayim, stop off on the way in Tzir, Tyre. Kisalkis lahosum akef, go a little bit of a roundabout way, vizil asuloma de Tzur, go up to the mountains of Tzur. Suloma de Tzur was a certain area in the Lebanon that when you're going from Bavel, you would go first a little bit near there. So he said, go there, and over there in Suloma de Tzir is vizil agabe de Rav Yaakov Bar Idi. Go and meet up with Rav Yaakov Bar Idi and ask him this shaila. Kise ma otun bay. What is your opinion regarding carrying out somebody on a chair? No. So this Choma Bar Ada goes there, but Ada Oza lohosom noch navshe de Rav Yaakov Bar Idi. By the time he got there on this trip, Nebuch Rav Yaakov Bar Idi passed away and he wasn't able to ask him the shaila. So when he reached Eretz Yisrael, he saw the Eretz Yisrael, Ashkel Rav Zika. He found Rav Zika and he asked Rav Zika the question. Amalei, kisei ma otun bay. What is the halacha regarding a kisei? Can you carry somebody out or not? So Amalei, Rav Zika said to him, Hochi Amar Rav Ami. This is the opinion of Rav Ami. Ubavach lo yikasei. Yes, you're allowed to carry somebody out, but you're not allowed to do it in the normal way, which is to put the chair on your shoulders, but you should put the chair in your hands and carry it in this abnormal way. What exactly does this mean that you don't carry me in the normal way? My obavach lo yikasev. What does that mean? So I'm Rav Yosef Berei de Rava. So Rav Yosef, who was the son of Rava, said, when it means that you shouldn't carry him obavach lo yikasev, it means you shouldn't carry him in a chair known as ba'alunki. Rashi says, alunki is a certain foreign language word. Shino saying zroo al kosev chavero. The two people, they interlock their hands on each other's shoulders. The chavero al ksefu. And then the other person sits above them. So the two people have their hands interlocked, and the other person is sitting above them. Zeo bikiso yoshev alzrosan. And this person is sitting on top of their arms. And the reason why you shouldn't do this is, Rashi says, because it looks too much like the mischaze. It looks like this is derech chol for hesed. This is the way you would do this on a weekday in a public way. Ulaholich lamakum rachok tvei. And they would do some type of carrying like this to carry a person a far distance, as opposed to mishinosin ben yedeim bekiso, as opposed to just carrying him in their hands in a chair of some sort. So this would be a better way to carry somebody for a long distance. So therefore, don't do it in this yikatev type of way, balunki. Rather, do it with your hands. More questions? This really ini? Or Rav Nachman sharala liyalta lemefak alunki. Rav Nachman allowed his wife Yalta, famous wife, she's mentioned many times in Shas, and he allowed her to be carried in an alunki. So how can you tell me ubavach lo yikasev means you're not allowed to use an alunki? No way Rav Nachman would do it wrong, and Rav Nachman allowed Yalta to be carried in a lunki. Someone says, no, shiny Yalta. Yalta is different. Why? The bi'osa. She was terrified of being carried in the normal way where they're just holding her, the chair in their hands. And therefore, they put her in a much secure way, that they put the chair on their shoulders, and this was a secure way, and that's why she was the exception to the rule. She was afraid to be carried just using the hands. She required a shoulder to stabilize the seat that they were carrying her on, and therefore she was allowed to be carried in this way. Shiny Yalto de Biosa. She was terrified to be carried in this way that you should carry somebody, so she was the exception to the rule. Similarly, Ameimar Umar Zutra, these two great Amorayim, Makasve Luhu Bishabos de Rigla, they were allowed to be carried also in this Alunka type of a way on the shoulders, Makasve Luhu Bishabos de Rigla. At the time that they would be Darshli in Alochus of the Yontif, this was called the Shabbat de Rigla. There actually points out there would be darshing shloshim yom lefnei achag, so therefore they would be allowed to be carried this way on Shabbos because they were required to be teaching the laws of the yontif, and they also were allowed to be carried like yalta mishum biasusa because there was a concern, a fear, if they were to carry them in their hands and not on the shoulders. Others said v'yamri le mishum dochakod de tzibura because there were so many people over there that they weren't able to be carried with the hands because it would have been difficult for them to get there. Rashi explains, Sha'om de Mal Raglayim, that the whole population was there standing on the feet, the Torah Tzibuhu, and this would have been a big tircha to get them through. Hilkach Mekasvilu Abdeyim Betamideyim, therefore the servants and the students carried them on the shoulders. Umalichanoso Mahel Mekomim, if they'd carried them in the way you're supposed to, with the hands, so it would take them forever to get there because of the press of all the people that were there. And therefore, in this way, by carrying them on the shoulders, everybody could see that they were coming, and everybody could move out of their way, and they were able to get to where they were supposed to go in a much better and easier fashion. The Maharam Shifki is a slightly different heretz. He says, there were so many people over there, there was lots of pushing and pressing, so they had to carry them up high, so that these great Rabbanim didn't get pushed and pressed by all the people. And this way, there was an appropriate cover, and everybody could step out of the way and make room for these great Amoroyim, Amemar, Mazutra, to give the shir on the Shabbat de Rigla. This is a great point to stop at the Mishnah, and with this we conclude today's shiur.